I don't know about you, but something is about to happen. In the name of Jesus. And the about is not until next year. Mm-mm. In the name of Jesus, there will be some that will rise out of this place with it. In the name of Jesus. You know, I don't know why this has been coming so strongly. Woo! Again. And you're like, you know why I'm saying that? Because there are many situations like that here today. That you see, you are not without help. In the name of Jesus. It says, a broken and a contrite heart you will not overlook. God will never neglect it. He's the helper of the helpless, the father of the fatherless, the defender of the widow. So he's an expert at bringing out those who cannot do it and who have no means of doing it. Now you've been hearing that and you've been hearing testimonies. It's your turn. I say in the name of Jesus, it's your turn. Because he's not a partial God. He said what he does for one, he will do for others. So can I say to you this evening, congratulations. Because you have a God that cannot fail. No, he cannot fail. He cannot fail. Every day your circumstance is trying to say that your God is a liar. Man, the circumstance is a liar. Check your Bible. Every day, the world you live around is trying to say your God is not God. But they are the liars. Let God be what? True. And every creature. And that is coming true for someone tonight. In the name of Jesus. If you want to say it's coming true for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, when Jehoshaphat was so helpless, he said in his prayer, he prayed a line. He said, oh our God, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12 says, oh our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Now, do we know what to do? But our eyes are upon you. You know what happened next? The Bible said, now all Judah with their little ones, wives, when your children and your wives are there, there is nothing more disgraceful for a man. They're all looking at you, be the man. And they're crying out to God just like you. And they're looking at you, daddy, do something. But even daddy is shaking in his boot. There is nothing that disgraces or demasculate like that. The Bible tells us, all Judah with their little ones, wives and children stood before the Lord. Now you can now imagine the king. King, where is your authority? But see what happened. And you want to know that it wasn't just a chance gathering, it was a deliberate gathering. People were scattered, confused, said, come together, let's cry to God. Everyone, anywhere they have made a mockery of you, in the next 20 days. In the name of Jesus. Sit down. Now, they prayed that prayer, then the Bible will have us understand the setting. But hear God. Then what happened? Read your Bible. Then what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came down. No matter how horrible or how bad your state may be, the Holy Ghost will come down tonight. In the name of Jesus. You know, he says, Father, won't you judge them? And amazingly, when the Spirit came down and he gave them the strategy, it was an unusual victory for them. The kind of victory that wasn't just that your enemies were defeated, you were enriched in a way you never dreamt your whole life. Then, apart from that, the enemies were judged. None of them escaped. So when God decides to fight your battle for your shame, tonight is the beginning of your double honor. In the name of Jesus. I don't know why this is coming so strong. Help me whisper to anybody. Say, it's not by power. It's not by might. The Spirit of the Lord will help me. The Holy Spirit will help me. In the name of Jesus. Now that presupposes that you are going to allow the Holy Ghost to take the lead. We give him praise. We give him honor. Amen. John chapter 7, I'll read from verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Okay. I think the message is preached. And drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his belly, out of his inner man, out of his inner being. Hello. We flow what? Come on, let me hear you. Let me hear you again. Come on, shout rivers. River of what? Living. Woo-hoo. Not just any river. Living waters. Hallelujah. That means anywhere this river goes, life will spring up. In the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, see, the abundance has started. But the mistake we make all the time is to put the cart before the horse. You are going to see that we always get it wrong, and the Bible will correct us, often correct us, and will be corrected tonight. Because you see, God doesn't do magic. He does miracles. And why they call miracles? They think, I was reading something. It said a couple, old couple, Sunday school teachers, strolling, and suddenly there was a storm. So they ran for shelter and happened to be in front of a church, like maybe walking through the street. And so they ran in, and the service was going on. And it was a Bible lesson. And then the pastor at the time said, what is a miracle? How do you define a miracle? Can someone define a miracle? And many hands went up. But there was a young girl there, and said, you. And the guest said something. The pastor see what I had to listen to many. And somehow he kind of found a hybrid of what they were saying and continued. But they said that little girl's answer shocked them. And it never left them there the rest of their lives. So she got up and she said, miracles are the things we can't do, but Jesus can do. The things man cannot do, but Jesus can do. That's all. And many people gave her that. Because if you can do it, it's no more a miracle. If you can do it, it's no more a miracle. And the interesting thing about life is this: your destiny in Christ will always require miracles. Okay. Your fulfillment in life will always require miracles. To live life optimally, the way God wants me to live it, will always require miracles. If it does not involve God, then it cannot be, then we don't need miracles. But if it is God defined, God led, God supervised, it will always require miracles. And that's why you don't faint when things look like a struggle. Faint for what? That's why you don't lose hope when things don't seem to be going the way you want them to go. Why lose hope for what? Okay. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Jesus was speaking. And drink. He who believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow what? Rivers. Come on, of living waters. Can we go to the book of Ezekiel? Sometimes I ask myself the question, I say, why can't we just trust this God and enjoy life a little more than we are doing? Okay, Ezekiel 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced the east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me up by way of the north, not gate, and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Where is the water flowing from? From this. Come on, talk to me. From the altar. From the altar. But he went outside and measured 1,000 cubits and put me there standing outside the water from the altar. It was to my ankle. Praise the Lord. And when the man went out to the east and the line in his hand and brought me out there, four, again he measured 1,000 and brought me out through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me out, and it came to my waist. Glory be. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river. Glory be to God. That I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Hallelujah. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Listen. When this water flows into the sea, it heals the waters of the sea. This is a dangerous water. By the way, allusion to sea and river in the Bible is multitudes. Say, I will put his hand on the sea and the rest hand on the river. So talking about the kind of anointing he was going to put on David. I was talking about people. Nine. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. That's why it is living. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to Englem. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Their swarms and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt along the banks of the river on this side, and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruits will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruits will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Glory be to God in the highest. The reason I took you there is that this water flows from the altar. And you see, everything we see in the Old Testament, they are shadows of what to expect. They are pattern of what to expect. So on that day of the great feast, which of course is a part of the great feast, there's a ritual that will allow the priest to go with their golden pitcher to the sea, River Jordan, and fetch water and pour it in a tunnel on the altar. And it will flow out. And they will do that continuously. And they call it the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, for so many days, they are camping in tents outside, you know, in commemoration of their 40 years in the wilderness. Come on. And again, it merges with the Feast of Harvest, celebrating the abundance of the year. Glory be to God in the highest. And so they were doing this, and on the last day, Jesus had been there teaching, and they saw probably the last man to pour the water. And as he poured the water, he knew what that symbolized. They didn't fully understand. He was the water. That they didn't know. Have you read in the Bible before that he was the stone from which they drank the water in the wilderness? Have you ever read in the Bible before? And so he just jumped up and he shouted, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Why? Because if anyone believes in me, out of his belly shall flow now. That's the much I'll take from there. I'll just pick some three things, and then we'll get properly into the New Testament. Number one, not yet the first thing, this day. Number one, who spoke? Because he lacked words to speak. He was just looking for words to speak. Come on, talk to me. No, he must impress people. I mean, it was the day of the feast now. The whole world was around. You can imagine the multitude in the hall that day. So he must be heard, he must be seen. That was why he just jumped up and he shouted. So why did he do it? Because it has a serious significance. He was announcing what was about to happen, which now has happened. Three things. First, if anyone thirsts, you know the unfortunate thing, people get so thirsty and they go to all the wrong places to quench their thirst. They create problem within the problems. They create bigger problems from smaller problems. It's okay that you are thirsty. He's understood. It takes the living to be thirsty the way you are thirsty. Whether you are talking emotionally or free, or spiritually or financially. Or it takes the living. But when you go to the wrong place, you create more problems. And Jesus saw that people will run helter-skelter as they were doing, and they will continue to do. If you are thirsty, do what? Come to me. Now, he has said something like that somewhere else. He said, "For all you who labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I will do what?" He said, "Come unto me, all who what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?" Yes. Hallelujah. It's another way of saying the same thing. "For all who are thirsty, if anyone is thirsty, come unto me." Glory be to God in the highest. See, the beginning of your miracles in life is to answer that question and resolve permanently what you want to do. As you lift up your hands in the name of Jesus, I say, "Father, satisfy every desire in the name of Jesus." Whatever question you came to ask God here tonight, I decree an answer in the name of Jesus. Whatever problem you brought before his presence tonight, by reason of his anointing, in the name of Jesus, let it disappear.
I say, receive your solution in Jesus' name. I say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Your confidence and your trust in the blood that was shed on Calvary will never be in vain. I decree your total release from any shackle and any oppression in the name of Jesus. I decree your preservation for life. I decree your divine protection. I decree your empowerment. I decree your provision. In the name of Jesus, I say it on the ground of the covenant which is sealed in the blood of Jesus. I say anywhere there has been a truncation, there has been a barrenness, there has been a struggling without any result, I demand and I command in the name of Jesus. I say, receive results, produce results in the name of Jesus.